Continue to watch one of the bigger stories in all of sports, and that is the ongoing saga between Russia and now WADA. It is a scandal. But according to Stephen Brunt, the question begs, now what do we do?
The IOC in a terrific bind right now, 2.5 weeks before the opening ceremonies in Rio, with one of the world's great sports powers indicted, essentially, for systemic doping. An independent investigator confirming that. And now what do you do? It's, you know, and WADA stepping up, the anti-doping body, stepping up and saying, we think you should throw Russia out of the Olympics as a country, not just throw athletes out, which would be unprecedented. You know, there have been countries who have not participated in the Olympics for political reasons, but to throw a country out for systemic cheating has never happened before. You know, the East Germans got caught decades after the fact and after the country had ceased to exist. So we haven't been here before, and the consequences, though that would seem like the appropriate thing to do right now, the consequences, the kind of dominoes tumbling if you do that, I don't think anybody on the Olympic, in the IOC side kind of can predict what the outcome is going to be here. I think there's going to be a lot of righteous indignation in there, and there's going to be a lot of people saying we got to throw the bums out. But I guarantee you there are going to be people standing up and say, okay, if we do that, what happens? Do we have individual athletes appealing this? Because we're going to be throwing clean athletes out as well, because presumably not every Russian athlete is a doper. Mm-hmm. Will the Russians walk away in a huff and do their own thing? You know, they're a big part of the Olympic movement. They're a big part of international sport. Will Vladimir Putin say the hell with you? And will you have a schism kind of in the Olympics, which, you know, again, we had it back in the 80s for political reasons, but this would be a whole other thing.
Stephen Brunt this morning on The Morning Show. Very pleased as we go back down the South Street Burger guest hotline to have the president and CEO of the Canadian Center for Ethics in Sport join us, Paul Melia, good enough to spend some time with us. Paul, how are you today?
I'm excellent. Thanks very much.
I really appreciate you doing this. I was intrigued by the blog that you wrote on the center's website today. And first of all, maybe just before we get into that, just your overarching thought on how this story is playing out. Obviously, the reporting goes back to May in the New York Times. You know, a Canadian lawyer on behalf of WADA has you know, presented a report that seems to corroborate it. This is somewhat of a spectacular story, not in the good spectacular, but a spectacular story.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. And it goes back even further, of course, to the Yulia Stepanov and her husband who, you know, communicated with the World Anti-Doping Agency as far back as 2010, saying they wanted to share information about the doping that was going on in Russia. And it wasn't until a German documentary filmmaker produced a film in 2015 that WADA was moved to action. And that spawned the Dick Pound investigation into Russian athletics at the time. And when those results came out and when Dick confirmed that there was evidence that there was, you know, intentional doping going on in Russian athletics, Becky Scott and other athletes, clean athletes around the world said, well, you know, and even Dick's report alluded to the fact that it's likely not just athletics that this is going on. You know, they called for, you know, further investigations into all sports, but nothing happened until then we had the New York Times interview with Rodchenkov and all of his allegations about the doping going on in all of Russian sport. And so WADA engaged another private investigator to look into that. And that was the McLaren report that was tabled yesterday that certainly confirmed beyond a reasonable doubt that all sports in Russia were part of the doping program. Highest levels of government were involved. The National Anti-Doping Agency was involved. The lab was involved. And as I say, it cut across all sports. So it's on a scale and of a sophistication we've certainly never seen before. Perhaps the East Germans back before we were taking doping seriously might have had something similar, but this is quite incredible.
Paul, why the tipping point with Rodchenkov? As you mentioned, others had been talking and there had been the documentary and there had been voices out there, but this is, you know, fairly quick to come about, really. I mean, in May, and here we are 60 days later in July with the report. Why this time?
Well, I think you had the initial whistleblowers and the Pound investigation and the inferences in Pound's investigation that it probably went beyond athletics. But then you had 60 Minutes and you had the New York Times putting this piece together based on the allegations by Rodchenkov. I don't think WADA could ignore that. They had to act on that, so they had to, get McLaren in place to do this investigation. And then, of course, everyone knew that we really needed this information before the Rio Games. So they gave him a very short time frame in which to do it. And as he said yesterday, he's just a very thin slice of what's actually there. He just didn't have the time to dig deeper.
Paul, as the president and CEO of the Canadian Center for Athletics and Sport, I don't think it surprises me at all that you would pen a blog today with the title, "The Time Is Now to Stand Up for Clean Sport." This makes sense coming from you, but why, what was the background on this? Why write this article right now?
Well, in and around 2002, the world developed the World Anti-Doping Code. 200-odd countries signed on to it through a UNESCO convention, including Russia. Major international federations signed on to it. And it created a uniform, harmonized set of rules around doping in sport, and it identified what anti-doping rule violations were and identified the consequences for those rule violations. And for athletes, it's all very clear. When an athlete commits a doping violation, they're slapped with a 4-year ban. They might be able to argue it down a little bit, but it starts there, 4 years. And for most athletes in most sports, that's a lifetime. So very severe sanctions for the athletes. And the code, unfortunately, wasn't as explicit about governments, violating the code, or National Olympic Committees violating the code, or national anti-doping agencies of a country violating the code. It's clear that can't happen, but if it happens, it wasn't clear what the sanction would be. And so here we find ourselves in a situation where all of those organizations within a country, including the government at the highest levels, has created this program designed exactly to undermine the World Anti-Doping Code and to completely violate the integrity of sport. So if a situation ever called out for leadership and ever called out for the leaders of sport to protect the integrity of sport, this is it. This is crying out to the IOC to say, please show some leadership. Please tell us where you stand on integrity in sport. Are you for the clean athletes, or is this more about all of the other considerations that might go into holding Olympic Games?
Paul Malia, the president and CEO of the Canadian Center for Ethics in Sport, our guest on the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Paul, is clean sport a pipe dream? Is it practical? Can we get there?
Well, I think it's like any other sector in society where there are lots of extrinsic rewards, whether it be fame and fortune or whatever. And so sport has certainly gone down that road now. So there is a lot of fame and fortune associated with success in sport. And so the temptation to cheat and the temptation to cheat by doping has never been greater. But that's true in many other sectors of society. Will we ever eliminate it? No. But can we get it to an irreducible minimum? Yes, for sure. The World Anti-Doping Code and all of the technical documents that support it have provided us with the blueprint to do that. What remains to be done is for the sports and the countries to implement the code the way it's designed. We have the athlete biological passport. We have intelligence-driven testing. We have investigations. We have all of the tools we need. We just need them to be implemented consistently across sports and across countries. Then we will get doping down to that irreducible minimum.
Is it, I'm trying to think of the right word for this, but is it more concerning to you that we're dealing with this issue today as a federation issue, a systemic from the top down, maybe the highest reaches of government down, as opposed to an individual athlete or a coach? I mean, is that more concerning to you, or should we be surprised that we're dealing with something this size?
Well, it is more concerning to me. I mean, the Lance Armstrong sort of athlete-driven, approach to doping, even though he had a wide network of athletes who were a part of his team that he controlled and operated a very sophisticated doping system. But this is on a whole other scale. This is a country coming out of the Vancouver Games, unhappy with their medal count, deciding that, how are we going to improve our medal count? Here in Canada, when we were faced with that situation, we created On the Podium. We said, we got to have better coaching, we got to have better training, we got to have better nutrition. In Russia, they must have looked at that and said, we want to Own the Podium next time around. Our On the Podium program is going to be, we're going to dope. we're going to ignore the World Anti-Doping Code and all the rules about doping, and we're going to cheat by doping, and we can get away with it. So to me, the fact that it's on that scale is much worse than the individual athlete or even a group of athletes that try to beat the system.
Paul, is it safe to say that you would hope the IOC would look at a total ban of Russian athletes at Rio, or is that too basic? I mean, is it more complicated than that?
Well, on the one level, no, it's not any more complicated than that. But from, you know, when they throw up the dust around legal considerations and going to create this committee to look into this and that, I mean, that's overcomplicating it because, as I mentioned at the outset, within the Olympic Charter, they have the authority to ban the National Olympic Committee of a country if that National Olympic Committee is seen to be undermining the values of Olympism, including cheating by doping. So they have the power and the authority to do it. That would be the simplest thing for them to do, and that would mean then no NOC from Russia, therefore no athletes from Russia. But what you would want to build into that is the caveat that there may be Russian athletes in some sports who have not been doping, who have been playing by the rules, who have been subject to code-compliant anti-doping programs, filing their whereabouts, being tested on a regular basis, having the tests analyzed for all the right substances. There could be some athletes. We saw this with the IAAF a month ago. They instituted a series of criteria, and now they've looked at 80 athletes in athletics from Russia. Two have met the criteria. So they've decided that there are two athletes who have been living, training abroad, subject to other testing, that we can have confidence that they're clean, just as we can have confidence our Canadian athletes are clean, because they've been subject to that year-round kind of program. So that I think is as simple as that. Ban them all through ban the NOC, and then carve out that opportunity for athletes to come forward and demonstrate that they're clean by their test history by a code-compliant anti-doping agency.
Less of a question, I suppose, and more just an opinion or a feeling on your part. You mentioned, you know, there's many Canadian voices in this, many Canadian voices that have been calling for clean sport. Are we concerned about the public image of the Olympic movement?
I think that we are concerned about it. I hope that the IOC is concerned about their brand, because I think it's taking quite a beating. And, you know, who knows, you know, when that beating becomes, as you referred to earlier, a tipping point, when the corporate sponsors say, well, that's enough. There's just too much, you know, too much negativity going on around this brand, and we're going to move away. And who knows when the public says, I'm sick and tired of this. Every Olympics, it's one thing or another, and they move away from it. So I think it's really important that the IOC step up and say, you know, the brand of the Olympics stands for integrity and sport, and we are going to defend it, and we're going to take this definitive action today to show that to the clean athletes of the world.
Paul Malia, President and CEO of the Canadian Center for Ethics in Sport, is our guest on the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Just a couple to finish off with you, Paul. One, there seems to be a lot of Canadian here. You know, we talked about WADA and Dick Pound, longtime head of WADA, and then it was a Canadian lawyer, and Richard McLaren, that did the report here. Canada's role in terms of clean sport, your role. I mean, we are leaders worldwide, are we not, when it comes to trying to clean up sport?
Yes, we certainly have been. And I mean, it started back with Ben Johnson and with the Dubin Inquiry. And, you know, Justice Dubin, you know, had great insight and foresight into how to deal with this problem. So one of his recommendations was to establish in Canada an independent agency, independent of government, independent of sport, and it was called the Center for Drug-Free Sport. It's since been renamed the Center for Ethics and Sport. But our board doesn't have a representation from the COC or from government on it. It's all expert-based with no vested interest. And, you know, we're as independent as we can be. I mean, we receive a lot of money from the government to support some of our work, but the checks and balances are built into our system. So I think we have been a model. You know, I think if you looked at the history of how things have evolved, if you looked at the creation of the World Anti-Doping Agency, you would see that there were many Canadians, you know, who were involved in that blueprint, and you would see very much the blueprint of our work in Canada in that agency. So definitely we've been leaders, and I think people feel that we, you know, go about our business and operate our programs in a way that is values-based. And I think as Canadians, we can feel very proud of that.
Paul, the last one for you. I mean, obviously, we're reacting to a very salacious, very big story. But day to day around the world, are we making headway? or are we just constantly bumping our head up against stories like this when it comes to trying to clean up sport?
No, we are definitely making headway. You know, this blog that I wrote today, you know, I'm in touch with my counterparts around the world in national anti-doping organizations, and we're in touch as well with athletes here in Canada and around the world who want the same thing. So I think that there is, you know, we're making progress. More and more countries are creating national anti-doping organizations that are independent and able to implement the code in an effective way. So it's a slow process. It takes time because it's a lot of countries, a lot of cultures, a lot of approaches to sport that are different from country to country. So, but the one thing they share in common is that sport is values-based, and without integrity, sport has no value. So everyone wants to protect that integrity.
Paul, I really appreciate the blog you wrote today, but I really appreciate you making some time to come on and talk about this topic with us. Sadly, I suppose this would be something if we talked about every day the way we talk about the National Hockey League or Major League Baseball, maybe we'd be further ahead. But with the Olympics on the horizon, this does give us an opportunity to kind of get everybody to pay attention to this issue and hopefully move it forward. So do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
Okay, no problem. Anytime.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, bye now.
Paul Malia, President and CEO of the Canadian Center for Ethics in Sport, joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline.